Everyone, welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing presented by PPV.com in association with Uncrowned and Yahoo Sports. I am Dan Canobio. He's the champion. Chris Algieri, former 140-pound champion, ISKA kickboxing champion, all-around champion of life. There was a commenter on YouTube who said, hey, Dan, would it kill you to introduce Chris Algieri and his accolades? There are some people out there that don't know who he is. I said, who the hell doesn't know Chris Algieri? He's a champion, all right? There you go, commenter on YouTube. I don't know why I was so aggressive. Sorry. Three-time
world champion. Two times in kickboxing, once in boxing, so.
Champion lifestyle. Two-time author.
Yeah.
One-time promoter.
Yep. One-time promoter, podcaster, two-time author. One of the best commentator, commentators in the game.
Let's freaking go. We are coming to you. I am coming to you from Las Vegas. For Benavidez Zerto Fight Week, I'm looking at sunshine out my window. I'm looking at palm trees. I'm looking at pools. Chris is coming to us from Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore.
Pro Box Show. Baltimore. So this is a road edition of Inside Boxing, but a fun one. Junto Nakatani, Naoya Inoue on Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern time. We'll have a podcast for you after that, breaking it all down. Obviously, Benavidez versus Zerto live on PPV.com. Order that fight with us. We'll be in the live interactive chat Saturday night. I have a bunch of content coming out over the next 48 hours. I interviewed Zerto, Benavidez, Duarte, Oscar De La Hoya yesterday. Got some good stuff. De La Hoya was in rare form talking shit about Zuffa. He told me all about the Senate hearing.
Dude,
you
have to tell De La Hoya every time you see him that I say what's up. I love De La Hoya.
Oh, I did.
Okay, good. All right, good.
I said, let's go. I almost did my impression, but I held back.
Please don't do that in front of him. He can still punch.
He's looking really good. When I do these interviews, I'm really close to their face. And I was kind of like, he was giving me his answer, and I was like this close to De La Hoya's face. And I'm like, damn, I'm like this close to Oscar. And he's like, still looks good.
No, he's a very handsome guy. Like that was part of his whole thing. His whole persona was related to that. I mean, he could fight like hell, but... he's still a very good looking, well put together guy.
Benavidez, I said, you're the fucking mugger. I said, you need to change your nickname to the fucking mugger.
He did not like that.
And he no sold me so hard. He's like, he gave me a courtesy smile and a laugh. It's on camera, it's coming out. And he no sold. It gave me a courtesy, hey, that's funny. And it just went right into, I just take people's souls. I'm a fucking killer. I was like, yeah, you mug them. You go in there, you mug these guys. And then he kind of opened up to it. I said, hey, when Floyd was 30, he changed from Pretty Boy Floyd to Money May. I was like, you're about to turn 30. How about the fucking mugger? And he still was like, no, man, I'm the Mexican monster.
I mean, that's a hard sell. It was a hard sell. It was a funny bit on our air. I'm glad you brought it up, Tim.
It's a compliment.
No, it's 100% a compliment. But yeah, giving fighters nicknames is tough. I had to put a bunch of nicknames thrown in my way, and I was just like, nah.
Fighting Collegian?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Buffer gave me that, so I really couldn't turn that down, so that one had to stick a little.
No offense, Michael Buffer. It's one of the worst ones ever.
Yeah, I mean, we love you, Mike, but I never put that on anything I did, ever, by the way.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's not good. Zerto was really in good spirits, and I actually enjoyed speaking with him, because he kind of has this reputation of being soft-spoken, doesn't really give answers. He was hilarious. We have some content coming out with him. Oscar Duarte is one of the most intense fighters I've ever come across. This dude stared through me when we were doing our interview. We did a name.
He's probably sizing you up. You're about my size.
Bro, he was wearing some big, giant sneakers with the huge
heel.
Like heels on them.
Like the lifts or just big heels? Like clunky, just chunky, big ass, just chunky heels.
Yeah, and I was still.
I was gonna say he's probably still shorter than you, which is wild.
It's on our Twitter right now. I'm bigger than him. We have a lot of content coming your way. PPV.com this Saturday night. Order the fight with us. You know it by now. If not, they are a proud presenting sponsor. They allow us to do the show twice a week. Last night went over to Zero Bond Lounge. Our friend Jason Griggs. Real estate mogul here in Las Vegas is a member of this. It's a membership only club inside the Wynn. It's Steve Wynn's old house condo that they remodeled into a lounge. It's fucking awesome.
Dan, when are we going to buy an Inside Boxing condo in Vegas through Griggs?
he's the guy.
Yeah,
this
of course
dude is flipping houses. He's doing great things in real estate. If you're looking to move to Vegas, that's your guy, Jason Griggs. So he's got this membership, and we go there last night. Super exclusive. Tom Brady's locker with all his wine in there.
Tom like Brady's a wine guy?
Wine service.
I didn't realize.
I guess. They got a private casino, a little gaming room. Coolest part about it is they have a private club, which only allows about 150 to 200, and they have like top-name DJs coming.
That's a lot of people still.
So it's like if you don't want to be...
That's a lot of people in my book. I'm 40.
That's what I said.
20 people in a room. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable in here.
But something about a smaller club that like designed, like you don't have to do all the riffraff of like an excess nightclub, which is still fun.
No, it's not.
Zero Bond is awesome. Shout out to Jason Griggs, real estate mogul.
When we get kicked out of boxing, we should go work for Griggs.
I'm thinking about it. He sold me last night. Sold me hard last night on this lifestyle. I had a lot of drinks, feeling a little slow today, but I'll power through. Let's start with Benavidez versus Zurdo. Cruiserweight matchup. Benavidez jumping up to cruiserweight to try to get two titles from Zurdo Ramirez, who has had a 48-1 record.
Crazy.
Who's been at the weight for four fights now, who's 4-0 at the weight class. Obviously, Benavidez jumping up from light heavyweight, began his career at 168. There's some confusion out there. Will he be a three-division titleist? He did win a title at 175 with an asterisk. I think it was an elevated title.
I don't count that one.
He'll go back down.
I don't count that one.
I don't know why I even brought that up. I don't think Benavidez even cares about that stuff. He cares about making big fights.
Which is why I think part of the reason why he wants to go back down to 75.
Yeah, he is so focused and locked in. And ready to perform. And that's the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway from this fight is this is the beginning of what could be a monster run for Benavidez. Fights with Zurdo, Bivol, Beterbiev. You know, he told me personally that a fight with Bivol is 90% happening next. If he wins these fights, he's catapulted into the top of the pound for pound debate. And then I also think if he wins these fights, he's a May and September fighter. He's the new face of American boxing, at least here. And can do some big things in terms of being the face of Mexican boxing, being the face of regular boxing, fighting in May and September, which he wants. But it starts with Zurdo, and it's not an easy task. This is a very tricky fight for him that I feel like a lot of people are just thinking, oh, it's like a foregone conclusion that Benavidez is going to win. He's like a 4-1 favorite. But come on, like this is a really, really tough fight for Benavidez.
Before we get into the fight, I had the chance to interview David a few times for Pro Box TV over the last 2 years. And it was about 18 months ago where I was like, this guy's got everything. He is a star. He can take over this sport. He can be the face of boxing. He really can be. I truly believe that. In the way that he speaks, the way that he fights, the way that he carries himself, I think he has everything you need to be that guy. If the run that he potentially might have, if he wins this fight and then gets the Bivol fight this year, by 2027, we could be looking at the new face of boxing. I'm just putting that out there right now. But now, let's talk about this fight, because there's a lot of steps before we get into that. Yeah, this is a really tough fight. And I'm surprised at how many people I speak to, no one is giving Zurdo a chance. No one. Vegas, especially. Vegas, it's getting wider. It's like 4-1. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's growing. It's growing.
I did a very lengthy breakdown of this fight for PPV.com. It's on the socials. I just reposted it. They tagged me. There's going to be much more content coming out the next couple of days related to this fight, where I really watched these guys and really went through the gamut of what they both do and how they're going to match up. And the more I watched, the less sure I was that Benavidez is going to win and dominate this fight. Zurdo is very good. And I've been a Zurdo fan for a long time. But I just kind of like match up my head. I'm like, Benavidez is just, he's just better. He's ascending. You know, it doesn't matter the weight class. But then I looked into it more and more and more, and I really went into it. And guys, check out the breakdown on PPV.com and my social about this fight. But yeah, this is a very complicated, difficult fight for Benavidez. He cannot just go in there and look to mug this guy like he normally does. The size difference is there. The skill set is there. Zurdo's 34. That's an issue. But he's going to be the bigger man in there. And on top of that, he's very, very skilled, and he's determined, and he has a good gas tank for a big guy. He's super durable. The way he changes levels, the way he rolls out to the weak side, the fighting at a distance, mid and long range, he's very, very good there. And Benavidez does some things that you look at and you're like, ah, I know he makes it work. He walks in very high guard, very tall for a tall fighter. Not a big level change guy, but he's just got fast hands and he closes the distance. He kind of trods his way in. There's places where Zerto, especially early on, can have some really, really good success. You know, I'm not saying he has footwork like Caleb Plant, who Caleb Plant had very good early success against Benavidez, but I think with the size, the length, the southpaw position, the way he slides and moves, the level changes, this could be really interesting and a bit of a nail biter early on.
Yeah, because I'm looking at Zerto, and he's got pretty much a very similar career to Benavidez and similar skill set. You know, fought at 168, fought at 175, fought at cruiserweight, throws a lot of punches. When you think of Zerto, you don't think of a guy that throws a lot of punches, but he's averaging 65, 70 punches thrown around.
Yeah, very busy for a big guy.
Very busy for a big guy. Only difference is the speed, yes. And I think that's going to play a huge, huge role in this fight. Benavidez has the speed advantage big time. When we do Chris's categories, we just leaked it right here. That's his path to victory in this fight is speed. And I was listening to Oscar De La Hoya do an interview with Fight Hub. I was kind of eavesdropping in on it in the next room over yesterday. And he was talking about the way you beat speed, the way you beat combination punching is timing and getting in between some of Benavidez's shots, which I think that will be Zerto's game plan. But when we talk about speed and the relentlessness of Benavidez, you know, according to CompuBox, he is slowed down tremendously at 175. He's been outthrown in his last three fights in terms of punches per round. His opponents are. So he's definitely become a little more meticulous, Benavidez at 175 and now cruiserweight. I'm interested to see with Benavidez is at this higher weight, the speed is still going to be there. Like the power, that's we've seen at 175, it's not the same. The advantages are gone. This is the third opponent in a row where he's undersized in reach and height. But I want to see the speed from Benavidez. That's his path to victory in this fight. And I also want to see, you know, how he's able to eat these shots from Zerto. So, but number one thing though, Chris, is Benavidez, and I think you would agree with me here, is he's going to have to be the faster fighter with the footwork and kind of outbox Zerto.
Everything's relative, right, Dan? So they're in the ring together. Zerto has very slow feet. Benavidez does not have fast feet, but he has faster feet. And in terms of hand speed, on paper and at the weight classes, you think David Benavidez has way faster hands, which very well may be the case. But again, you mentioned at this weight, he's not as busy as he's moving up. 75, he's not as busy as he used to be at 68. Is he going to be as busy at 199? Probably not. But is he going to be busier and faster than Zerto? Probably. So this is one of those fights where I think a lot of the advantages that Zerto has over the other cruiserweights are things that David has also and has better. And that's why most people and Vegas are looking at this fight the way they are, and everyone's picking David. I'm still picking David because of that reason. I just think that everything that Zerto does well and is an advantage at cruiserweight, David does better. So that's where being an inch better is being a mile better because of this, you know, the way this sport actually works. But that is not to say that the skill set of Zerto cannot upset a lot of that. And I think especially early on. I think ultimately the youthful exuberance of David is going to be the distance as a difference as this wears on and as the distance goes. But I think this is going to be way more competitive than people think, especially early on. Zerto's good, man. I've been high on Zerto for a long time. I went back and I watched the fight with Bivol. You mentioned how, who was that? De La Hoya said you got a punch in the middle with a guy who's Well, he didn't do that against Bivol at all. He didn't punch in the middle at all. He got completely shut down. But early in that fight, when he was fighting at a distance, he actually had a lot more success than I remember. And probably a lot of people think that, don't remember that. Zerto did well early in that fight. Once he started getting overwhelmed by the speed and footwork and then started backing himself up to the ropes, that's really when the fight changed hands and changed. That's going to be the thing to look out for in this fight. When you see Zerto with his back on the ropes more than not, the fight's essentially over at that point. Because Benavidez is such a mauler once your back is on the ropes.
Mugger.
His guard peels. He hits with both hands, his hand speed, his combination punching, his seemingly endless gas tank. If you back up on the ropes of that guy, you're looking for trouble. So once,
it's funny you
say, if we see that, I'm pretty sure that we're looking at pretty much the end of the competitiveness of that fight.
It's funny you say that because I was ringside for Zurdo Dorticos.
Yep.
And that was my first time, maybe, I think it was my first time watching Zurdo fight. And I was like, wow, he has some really slow feet.
He had a tough night.
But he did. Dorticos is legit.
And he's a brutal puncher, Dorticos. You know, he's very, very good puncher.
He's got some really, I thought, all right, he's slow, he's plodding, but man, is he sturdy. And man, was he digging to the body. Man, was he eating a lot of shots. And so they, like, sixth, seventh round, he's still just coming forward, and just is what his game is, So I do think he's going to be very durable. But going over to Benavidez, who just lights it up when it comes to punch stats, 38% connect percentage, that ranks number two among all active championship caliber fighters.
That's total punches or power Stevenson. Punches?
Total punches. He's 23 of 59, which is 38.5%. Shakur is 39.8%. His 22 punches landed per round ranks number seven in all of boxing. His six jabs per round ranks number three in all of boxing. His power shots, 45%, ranks number six. And then this one that I love, he lands 46% of his combinations. That's number one among
that's a new stat. Of combination,
Bob Canovia.
What does that mean? Explain to me what that means.
More than three punches thrown at a time is a combination.
And I love when stats click in my head. Like, yeah, I've seen him do that. Like that I have, because the guy does let his hands go in combination. And we complain. I mean, we both complain about this on air. And I know a lot of coaches come up to you and complain about it. Guys don't throw combinations anymore. I was a combination fighter. I threw a lot of punches, but I threw a lot of punches because I threw punches in combination. A lot of guys are not willing to do that anymore because of the risk of getting hit back. David Benavidez throws combinations, long combinations, with guys who are really good punchers. So I'm soft towards Benavidez because of that. I like every fighter like guys who do things that they used to do or think things that they respect.
Yeah. That's why you guys can't be judges.
I'm a combination puncher. I like combination punchers. That's why I'm not a judge.
That's why I think that I always hear this too, is ex-fighters should be judges. And I say no, because one, bias. The reason you just said bias, you're going to eke towards the side of how you fought, and then friendships too.
We are way too selfish, which is why if they do anything that we used to do, like, this guy's definitely winning. But like also, like you said, there's going to be a bias towards friendship, and we know the talent pool is too small. We know their coach, we know their manager. You're absolutely right.
But Benavidez too, when a lot of those stats are coming from 168, where he was just throwing way more. 175, told you he's slowing down a little bit, but he's still throwing in combinations. Like, he's throwing 45, 50 punches around, but he's ripping them off. You can divvy them up. You know what I mean? Like, he's not throwing one at a time, 50 punches over 3 minutes, one at a time. He's firing off those combinations, and he throws in bunches, which is going to help him a lot in this fight because he's got that speed advantage, and he's going to need that speed advantage. Next thing, too, with Benavidez, how will Benavidez's speed translate at cruiserweight? When we talk about Benavidez, we talk about weight a lot, but this guy, is he in shape? How much weight is he putting on? How much weight is he cutting? He's now moving up to a third weight class in maybe 3 years. So do you think the speed will be there at cruiserweight for Benavidez?
I do. And again, it's all relative. I think he's going to be faster-handed than Zurdo. And I think that's all that's going to matter. And he's alluded to being better and feeling better at this weight. You're never going to know that until you're in the ring. But at the very least, he's going to not be burdened by making weight and struggling as he did at 68 and 75. He's always had an endless gas tank, so that's not really something you really... But he might be more physically impressive in terms of his strength and physicality. I think that the hand speed will still be there, and it may not be as fast as it was at 75 and certainly not at 68, but I think he's going to be faster than Zurdo, because I think Zurdo really does cut weight. even at cruiserweight. I think he's really cutting down.
He's freaking
humongous.
Huge.
I know. And that's the thing. People are like, oh, well, they both start at 68. They're essentially the same size. No, they're not. Zerto is a much bigger human than Benavidez. And Benavidez is big. So I think speed is going to play a huge part of this fight. And I do believe that Dave Benavidez is going to have a substantial speed advantage.
I was standing next to both of them yesterday. Zerto is so much bigger. And then they also had a moment, I don't know if you saw this, Fight Hub caught it. They had they crossed paths in the hallway yesterday when they were doing all the media. They dapped it up, gave a hug. People were upset. I'm like, guys, you can be friendly and also get into the ring.
It's not even friendly. It's just being cordial.
Sportsmen.
They sparred together.
They know each other. They 200 rounds.
That's a lot.
There was a number of 800 out there that I threw at Zerto, and he's like, no, that's ridiculous. No. 200 rounds of sparring as early as 5 years ago. It's a lot.
That's a ridiculous amount of rounds. I don't know if I sparred anyone 200 rounds in my entire career.
And he was trying to downplay it to me, Zerto. And I was like, that's a lot. And he's like, no. Not a lot. I was like, that seems like a lot in my mind. And then I moved on. It's a lot of rounds, right? They're friendly. It's no secret. They are friendly. But the size difference when I saw them next to each other in the hallway was startling. With Zerto just being a bigger, wider shoulders, taller, longer.
200 rounds is 20 10-round sessions. 45-round sessions. Guys, we don't spar 10 rounds all the time. We don't go out there and go 12 rounds, throughout camp. You do that a couple times.
So they are best friends. So they're basically best friends.
And they could live together at this point. They're very close.
I should have played that up more in the questioning. Yeah. Another question I have too is how will Benavidez take shots at cruiserweight? He did suffer a flash knockdown against Morel.
Yeah.
He did go down against Gavril, which was long ass time ago. I don't think of Benavidez as chinny whatsoever. But I'm just curious.
I also don't think of Zerto as a puncher either. So,
no, neither guy. Zerto has zero knockdowns at cruiserweight. 4-0, zero knockdown. He hasn't had a stoppage in general since 2022. So that's not Zerto's game. And Benavidez,
I believe that was Sullivan Barrera at 75, right? Is that his last stoppage?
I believe it was. No, I think it was the guy he fought before Bivol.
I didn't write his name down.
It was a tune-up fight. Okay. And I'm not even going to bring up the power for Benavidez because I think that's just not his game. He is an accumulation puncher, always has been, and even more so at the higher weights when the advantages aren't there anymore. So I'm not even going to say, at cruiserweight, is he going to be sitting down more in the shots, Benavidez? No, that's just not his game. But I do want to know the chin, even though you say Zerto's not a big puncher, and he really isn't, but still a bigger guy in there. We're looking at a borderline heavyweight, Zerto, who he's told me he wants to go to heavyweight.
But has anyone ever concentrated on Benavidez's body? He's got a very long torso. The way he walks in with his high guard.
Fleshy.
A good weapon. And I spoke to Stephen Brebman Edwards, who trained Caleb Plant for the Benavidez fight. He said the stab jab to the body was a weapon that they noticed prior to the fight because of the high guard and the fact that Benavidez tends to walk in square. And that was a successful punch early on in the fight. One of the only real consistent, successful punches that Caleb Plant was able to muster that night. So the body is open. Has there ever been someone who went consistently well to the body of Benavidez? And I will tell you this, no. Is Zerto that guy?
That's Zerto's game.
That's 100% his game. He's not a puncher, but he hurts you to the body. He hurts everybody to the body.
Oh, man.
He's a very good body puncher.
He was digging on Dorticos.
He's digging on Billum Smith. That changed the fight.
That's his best win. That's his very best good win.
I was ultimately impressed at him at cruiserweight from that fight.
Because Billum Smith at the time had just beaten Ryakpor.
Yes.
Who is now at heavyweight and looking really good. And then he had a win over Matsermnak.
He beat Glanton. He beat
Okoli.
That's a big win. No, I'm sorry. Did he beat Glanton? Yes, he beat Glanton. Very, very close. Then he beat Okoli, which is a big win. Then Ryakpor, which in hindsight is a really good win. Yeah, Billum Smith is good, man.
How would you say Benavidez's wins are aging? Obviously, Plant is faded and lost to Resendez, who's on this card. Andrade was towards the way end of his career, hasn't fought since. Vodzik dropped by Hot Rod and beat. David Morrell potentially lost to Katayev. Yard was well past it.
Yeah, I think his best win was Morrell, who was...
I agree.
Who was very, still very, very good and is still going to be a world champion. And he was young and undefeated, and he fought his ass off that night. That was an impressive, impressive win. I think the Caleb Plant fight, regardless of what happened to him afterwards, was very impressive. Caleb came with a very good game plan, was very motivated. I think he learned a lot from the Canelo fight. If he would have gotten the stoppage, which was right there, he could have. He just wasn't cutting off the ring that night. It would be much, much more, it'd be much more highly ranked because of Canelo stopping Caleb. But still, I think I rank that very, very high. And because Caleb still had, he still had the win against McCombie after that fight, which he did look a little vulnerable before losing to Resendiz. But yeah, now his best win certainly is the Morrell fight. Vozdick, I thought he looked good first time fighting at 75, and Vozdick is good. And yeah, Hot Rod can punch, man. The guy could always punch.
So this, would this be his best win? Would Benavidez over Zerto be the best win of his career?
No question.
I agree.
No question. This is a tough fight. It's a really tough fight. I don't care what Vegas says. Yeah, this is a tough fight.
Those are the last five for Benavidez. Caleb Plant at 168. Andrade at 168. Vodzik 175, which was a UD. He stopped Andrade. He beat Plant. He went down against Morrell, but pretty much dominated that fight. 118, 108. 115, 111. And the Yard mugging was just downright nasty. Yeah, if he wins, there's some big fights. And, you know, he said the fight is like the Bivol negotiations are already happening.
It's crazy.
Which is tricky. But it made me think, like, all right, you're really obviously he's a great fighter, Benavidez, and he has all these skills. And you can pick apart his resume, you can pick apart anyone's resume, but it's how he wins in there. He's exciting. He goes for stoppages. He doesn't always get them, but he's exciting. And he's very marketable, and he can speak well and all that. So that's helped him a big time as we go and, like, try to dissect his wins here. But just hearing him say, like, I want Bivol, that's next. That's going to be in September. Then next May, I want Beterbiev or Opataya, or I'll look for the next big one. So he's, like, thinking like Canelo. Like, he's got that schedule. I was like, oh, man, you got, like, a schedule. And he's like, yes, I do. I know what the fans want. And, they're getting him into that September, May slot, but he has to win this fight, because if he wins this one and then he gets Bivol next, like you talked about at the open of the show, then we're looking at top three or four pound for pound, because he's seven right now, which he said he's fine with. I asked him. He said seven's fair, but after this run I'm about to go on, top three, he said.
The difference with him and Canelo, this is the way he speaks, because he genuinely wants these fights and believes that he can win these fights. But he does not have the access to make these fights in the way that he wants. And we've seen that.
Yeah.
You know, he's been, this is nothing new. He's been calling guys out like this for years, 5 years at least. Again, when I interviewed him 2 years ago, him and his father were both on. I was blown away by their confidence about all the fights they wanted to make and what they said they were going to do to guys. And then going on and doing it, they ultimately believe in their skills. There's no question. Him being undefeated he's a very dangerous man, because he has not been deterred from whatever his goals have been, what he says he's going to do, at all. So the difference is, can he make those fights? Because the fights that he said he wanted, Canelo fight, didn't happen. The winner better be a Bivol, didn't happen. The guy has to move out of the weight classes to get the fights that matter, to keep him in the spotlight. And he's consistently done that. He moves exactly how you want a champion to move. Oh, there's a barrier for me getting this fight? Cool, I'm going around it. I'm going for something bigger, better, something that's going to get even more attention, and just ballsier. Everything he does is ballsy. So this is a ballsy move. Can't get the winner of Beterbiev Bivol. They're dragging their feet. Cool, I'll go to cruiserweight and go challenge the number two guy in the world, arguably, could be number one, and go fight him for two world titles in a weight class that I'm not even going to stay in. I'm going back down to 75. So the way that he moves, extremely, extremely ballsy, but also the way you want to see a guy move who is getting blocked out of certain situations. But there's going to be a time, especially after if he wins this weekend, that you're not going to be able to block him anymore. When he wants a fight and he says he calls you out, there's no, oh, well, you know, I've got to fight the number. No, no, no. You got to fight this guy. He's the guy in charge. And yeah.
that's
the way he's moving now.
Because he's talking a lot, and he's like, I'm like a man now. He can't back out of any of them. I don't think he's going to back out of any of them, because he has a – think about it. Bivol is 34, horrible with ages. 34, back problems.
The back surgery is big, dude. That's a big question mark.
And he's ripe for the taking, Bivol. But I feel like if Benavidez can beat him decisively, like better than BF did, which was not decisively at all, that's a huge thing. Like, oh, that's the guy that beat Canelo for the first time in 8 years.
No, Bivol's 35.
Wow.
I thought he was younger than that.
Back surgery, inactive.
Oh, boy.
It starts with the Zerto fight. If he beats Zerto, at Cruiser, goes back to 175, beats arguably the best at 175, which I would say is still Bivol, despite his age and despite the inactivity. That's what we expect from pound-for-pound guys. That's what we expect from the sport's best. And it's pretty cool that he's openly talking about it. And he's not he did say, like, I had to take care of business Saturday, but here's what I have down the pipeline. Fans love that.
But the
worst thing is when I'm interviewing these fighters and they don't give me anything. They don't say who they want to fight. Give me names. Fans want to hear names. They want to hear a plan. Like, basketball, we have a schedule. Knicks play tonight. If they win, they play next round. I want plans.
I gotta push back, Dan. I hate to do it because
I know. You're a fighter. You don't want to tell me.
I know, but I'm a big Benavidez fan. But we can't be fans here. We gotta be unbiased. We have to. I don't care how much I like the guy. I don't care how much I like what he's saying. His hit list is a lot of old guys.
Yeah.
Better be if it's 42. 40.
Morel was young.
No. I'm talking about the future hit list. He's fighting a guy who's 34. Bibble's 35. Better be if down the line he's talking about fighting is going to be 44 by the time they fight, if they ever fight, which they're not going to fight.
I don't think that happens.
Canelo Alvarez is 34, 35.
Opetaia. Make that.
I don't want him to go for Opetaia, honestly. I want him to go back to 75. I want to see him at 75. I want him to go. Now I'm going back on myself already. I want him to beat up the old guard already. I want him to go down and beat up Bivol and Better Biev and Canelo. Wipe those guys out, and then we'll see him go to cruiserweight and eventually heavyweight.
Canelo's not going
to
be there.
Probably not.
No. He will be at the fight. Canelo Alvarez will be in attendance on Saturday night, confirmed by Eddie Reynoso. Canelo will be at the fight on Saturday, confirmed by Eddie Reynoso.
Nice.
With his very, very fresh brain. Did you see that report?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell that means, but...
What the hell? I kind of skimmed over it because I'm in Vegas. It's hard to follow all the news. But Canelo Alvarez went to a longevity clinic in Switzerland, and after 70 professional fights, his brain came back completely clean. They went through everything. His biological age is 26. He's got zero chronic inflammation. Untouched brain. 26-year-old Canelo Alvarez. So I expect him to fight for another 15 years.
15. I don't.
He's 26.
I don't.
Can we do a leg test?
$2 million a year to. Yeah, this is all well and good, but one of the biggest issues of fighters and longevity is not necessarily their body or their brains; it's their psychology. Which I guess is the brain, but it's more of the cognitive ability and their psychology. So, yeah. Listen, I hope Canelo is 100% healthy. I hope he is 26 years of age. But in terms of what that means for him and his longevity in the sport, I take it with a grain of salt.
Brain is 26. Them legs in the Crawford fight looked about 46, 56.
But again, what's your psychology? Your psychology's not 26. You're a father. You're married. You're a multi-hundred millionaire. Yeah, that has nothing to do with age. Silk sheets has nothing to do with your age. Life is different now.
That is some crazy PR coming from Team Canelo to put that out there. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's propaganda, not as PR.
That's what PR is. PR is propaganda.
Yeah, basically. But.
All right,
I hope he's healthy as could be. I hope he's healthy as an ox.
Yes,
I hope he's as healthy as could be.
I was happy to hear this. Happy to hear this. I just moved the whole table. Happy to hear this. I just thought it was whoa, that's...
I don't know. It's just out of nowhere, too. Just okay.
Yeah. That's a lot to digest.
Also, on the tail end of everyone calling out Canelo for Crawford not fighting Canelo in a rematch, there's a lot of that coming out, too, all of a sudden.
Yeah, that and Benavidez trying to lay, you know, his claim and put his flag down as I'm the new face of Mexican boxing. I'm Cinco de Mayo. I'm September. And I was like, not so fast. I got a smooth brain.
I'm younger than you.
Not so fast, my friend.
I'm younger than you. That's gonna be not so fast.
That's
gonna be the new debate. Well, chronologically, dude, younger than you. I mean, I've been telling you I'm younger than you for years.
Your brain is definitely better than mine.
Which is wild.
Fought insane amount of fights, and I have never been in a fight. And your brain is still better than mine, which I just have to live with. Chris's categories for Benavidez versus Zurdo: power.
What did I say? I said Zurdo? I think I...
We didn't go over this. This is on the fly.
Oh, this is on the fly. Okay, power. I'm going to go Zurdo because the weight class. This is his fourth or fifth fight at cruiserweight. Although he's not a puncher, I mentioned earlier, he hurts everybody to the body. And just being at the weight and being physically the bigger man, I go with Zurdo for power. Again, we've never seen Benavidez at the weight. So it's I can only go off of what we've done for me lately. And I've never seen you at the weight. I've never seen you with another cruiserweight. So I'm leaning slight advantage to Zurdo in the power department.
Speed?
No question. David Benavidez in every way possible. Hand speed, foot speed, head speed. Yeah. Even thinking speed, I think David is ahead.
How about defense? Interesting one.
Definitely Benavidez. Zurdo is there to get hit. You mentioned the durability of him. I've never been in a fight and been like, wow, man, Benavidez is super durable. Because in order to be classify you super durable, you got to get hit a lot. I've seen Zurdo get hit a ton in fights. In the Dorticles fight, in the Billiam Smith fight, and pretty much every cruiserweight fight he's been in, he gets hit. I've never seen David get hit like that. So I'm going to go defense, Benavidez.
Ring IQ.
Ring IQ, because I do rate Zurdo very high. I think he's actually a very good thinking fighter, but I cannot forget him getting outboxed and outclassed by Bivol. And I don't think if Benavidez was in the ring with Bivol, that it would look like that. So ring IQ, I'm going Benavidez. And again, I think Benavidez is also an underrated ring IQ. I think he's a very high IQ. This is not a knock on Zurdo, but I got David Benavidez ring IQ.
Let's go to our predictions for Benavidez versus Zurdo. I will start it off. I think it's going to be a very nip and tuck battle for the first 8-9 rounds. Back and forth, both guys throwing in the 50s, having their moments. But then you're going to see the youthful exuberance that you talked about, the willingness, the will of David Benavidez, the combination punching, the speed, about to take over in the last quarter of the fight. Benavidez wins a competitive decision.
I'm going to start backwards. I'm going to agree with you.
Like that.
Wins the competitive decision. I think he starts to dominate late. I think the middle rounds are nip and tuck. I think the early round Zurdo comes out to an uncomfortable lead. I think Zurdo is going to come out and bank a bunch of rounds early on. I did a lot of study this week and looking at Zurdo's ability as a tall man, a big man, he changes levels really well. And he's very good using the southpaw stance to stay invisible. He goes at weak side a lot. And he's not looking to land the big shots from the middle distance and long distance. He'll stay on the outside and he'll pot shot with long 1-2s and 1s. He does a 1-2-1 really nice. He jabs off his rear hand really nice as he cuts out to that side. I think the slower feet and the data analyzing or data collecting that Benavidez does early is going to lead to an early lead for Zurdo. And then again, that my favorite word, the youthful exuberance, my favorite term, the youthful exuberance is going to take over in the mid rounds. And I think Benavidez, we're going to see Zurdo start putting himself on the ropes and we're going to see Benavidez just beating him up because that's what he does. Benavidez beats the shit out of you. I didn't put that into my analysis because I was trying to be professional. But he's not a knockout puncher. He doesn't knock you out. But like you said earlier, he's trying to. He's going to beat the shit out of you. That's what Benavidez does. He gets to the ring and he beats the shit out of you. So I think at the end of the fight, we're going to see some of that. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a competitive fight. That's going to be a lot of fun. High contact guys. But I think Benavidez, when the bell rings, you're going to be like, all right, yeah, Good fight. Benavidez definitely won.
Agree there. Obviously, we're in unison here. Benavidez gets a decision win with our predictions, and then we start looking at some juicy matchups at 175 or cruiserweight if he wants to stay there. Undercard is really good. Armando Resendez versus Jaime Munguia for Resendez's 168-pound title, which he got elevated to when Charlo finally gave up his belt. Like this fight a lot. Munguia has got a lot to prove coming off of those the Saras fights and the PEDs, and he still wants to stake claim that he's the guy at 168. And you got Resendez who wants to say, you know what, the Caleb Plant fight wasn't just like a flash in the pan. So I like this fight.
Yeah, this is Munguia trying to keep his career alive. A loss here, and you're really kind of writing him off. But Resendez is trying to stake his claim, like you said. The Caleb Plant was not due to timing, was not a flash in the pan, was not a fluke. It wasn't because he was old. It's because I'm that guy at 68. Because we hadn't seen Resendez. So Resendez had lost at 160. Apparently, the weight was bothering him because at 68, he looked great. His gas tank was great. He looked strong. He looked physical. He looked very, very focused throughout the fight against Caleb Plant, who's a difficult guy to deal with in general. So I do like Resendez and where he's going. But again, this is an ascending-descending fighter matchup or a crossroads fight, as we like to say.
Really close odds for boxing terms, at least. Jaime Munguia is a minus 200 favorite. Resendez is a plus 155. Wow.
I'm picking Resendez, so I'm going plus money.
Ooh, plus money. Oscar Duarte is fighting Angel Fierro. I don't see how this isn't just like rock'em sock'em.
Bing, bong, bang.
Crowd going absolutely batshit crazy. Yeah. Fun while it lasts, because Duarte is a minus 1,000 favorite. He is ascending. He's on the doorstep of a title shot. He's going to go the WBC route. I asked him yesterday. Cold Wishes and Hitching a Pussy to me. That was pretty funny. Did name association, and he didn't understand anything I was saying beforehand, and I said, Richardson Hitchens, pussy. Pussy. Right away.
Pussy.
English.
Pussy.
Right through. Got right through the language barrier.
No question.
That fight's going to be amazing. That fight's going to be awesome. I don't see how that doesn't
bat. I think this card's brilliant. I think they've done such a good job putting this card together. I mean, the main event's great. I think it's a really good fight. It's kind of a hardcore fight, fan fight. You mentioned that the co-feature there is Munguia and Resendez, Mexico versus Mexico. I think that fight's going to be fantastic. This is literally just like, just in case we needed a guaranteed banger that's going to end in a knockout, let's make this fight.
They should have put this as the co-main because I'm pretty much guaranteeing fireworks. So first fight is Isaac Lucero, who's a really good-looking 154-pounder. Who's got a lot of power. He's opening up the show. That should be fine. The second fight is Duarte Fierro. The place is going to be electric. And then I don't want to say there's going to be like a letdown, but Resendez Munguia, that should also be pretty good.
Yeah, but it matters.
A lot of high contact there.
It's a title fight too, no? You can't. Yeah, Resendez is a champion.
I know you can't do that. You can't. But I think of entertainment value.
Well, this isn't like the Canelo Crawford card where you had Lester Martinez and Christian and Billy as a third fight, and then you had Callum Smith and Fernando Vargas as a co-feature to Canelo. That was an absurd switch.
Bad.
Because
they had some Saudi Arabian guy starting off the card.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not even going to mention that, but like, how are you going to have the much higher level fight before a lower level fight, and that wasn't even good. This is at least a higher level, a lower level fight that's going to be, you know, exciting. But and even then, you can't put it ahead of the title fight. You can't put it ahead of those two guys because they earn their spot. So
I think
the way it should be.
Fierro fought Pitbull on the Benavidez Morel card, and that was second fight of the night, and that was like people were still buzzing at the start of the next fight. You know what I mean? Like, the crowd was, like, not over it yet. And that's what I would love when there's a really good co-main event and it gets everyone so fired up for the main event. Because there's nothing worse, like you just said, than a boring co-main event. Not saying that...
I can't see Resendez...
I don't see Munguia. Yeah. No, that's going to be an awesome fight.
I think it's going to be a good fight, too. I don't think it's going to be as bombastic as Fierro and Duarte. And also, I don't think it's going to end in a knockout. I think Duarte stops Fierro. And I think we get a banger.
Yeah, he's small.
I think we get a banger for Munguia and Resendiz, and then we get the main event, which I think everyone's still going to be lit up about. It's a great card.
Really good card. Order it on PPV.com with us. We'll be in the live interactive chat. We'll have a post-fight podcast early Sunday morning. We'll have a post-fight podcast early Saturday because Inoue Nakatani are locking horns. We did a whole episode on it earlier in the week because we knew that we'd be here in Vegas talking about this card, so we wanted to give it its just due. But I've been following along, trying to get some bits and pieces. I saw them do a little stare down. Nakatani, so much bigger. We knew that, taller, and all that stuff. Inoue said, I want to engrave my fighting spirit into your memory.
He said that to Nakatani?
She said in general. And I'm I've never heard that. Yes. I've never heard those words put all together in a sentence to describe someone. And I think it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. And he already has. Because all I talk about is his fighting spirit. And that's a Japanese thing. I think Nakatani has that as well. But the willingness of Inoue, which I've said over and over again, to put himself in danger to get you out of there. He's not going into these fights to win rounds. He's not going into this fight to win decisions. He's going into this fight to knock you out, to stop you, to destroy you. He treats this like he's a warrior and it's life or death. That is what is so endearing. And that's what warrior spirit is all about. Guess what? Nakatani does that too.
Yeah,
they both do that.
But the only thing is, Inoue has a bigger megaphone right now.
Of course, because he's the guy. He's been there. He got there first.
He's the guy.
He planted his flag earlier. He's just had more time. He's older. So Nakatani's looking to do the same thing. He's Inoue is the trailblazer. Nakatani is pulling up the rear to try and take over the position. And this is exactly what this fight is. This is a classic crossroads young lion versus defending, pride leader. So, this fight rules.
He said, I want to prove that I'm still Naoya Inoue.
And I saw that.
You can really read into that. What does that mean? You're going to come out in guns blazing, like we talked about in the last episode? Caution to the wind?
That quote made me think twice. That means he's listening to things. He's hearing.
Listening to our show.
He's listening to the outside influences, which I think may not be his downfall. It could be his downfall in the fight. I did an article for Boxing Scene, and I was trying to kind of figure out what his weaknesses are at this point. And it's his emotion. It's especially early on. He puts himself in danger. He's willing to risk it to knock you out. But he gets emotional. The crowd will get him going. He does listen. He is affected. He is not a cold, calculated killer, even though he seems like it. He is affected by things. So that could be his downfall in this fight. And when he said that, I was like, ooh, he is thinking about what people are saying. His legacy matters here.
Very prideful guy. Awesome fight. DAZN, 8 a.m. Eastern. I'm still seeing that. I've asked around. There's some DAZN people here because this Zerto Benavides fight is also on DAZN. So there's some DAZN producers and guys that I know. I'm going to confirm again. Hopefully get a time, put that out on social media. But for everything I'm hearing, 8 a.m. Eastern. So I'll be up at 5 a.m.
ChatGPT lied
time.
To me. I asked and it told me it started at only 3 a.m. But that was
the
big...
That's when the card starts.
ChatGPT and I got into a fight because I'm telling him, like, no, I want the main event walk. So I got...
So if you're in the Baltimore area and you saw Chris Algieri yelling at his phone,
now you know why. About. Now you know why.
Now you know why. We have a lot of content still coming your way. This is one of the best fight weekends of the year. I hope you guys are all locked in, taking it all in. Send us tweets about how you're watching all these fights. We've waited a few months for this right here, this weekend. This is as good as it gets. Two really good cards on the same day in May, which is going to kick off an awesome month of boxing. You know, as you know, we always have you locked here at Inside Boxing. We appreciate everyone that watches, listens, subscribes, all that great stuff. Right, Chris?
That's right. And stay tuned for all the content that we got rolling out on both of our channels and on the Inside Boxing channel. So, you know how we are. We keep you guys posted.
All right, everyone. We have more to come this weekend. Keep it locked. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. You're going to be hearing more of that this weekend.